Garner Ted Armstrong takes you behind today's world news in the light of Bible prophecy. And now, world-known analyst and commentator, Garner Ted Armstrong.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of tomorrow's world. In tomorrow's world, I don't believe there's going to be any goblins, witches, trolls, demons, and poltergeists, black cats, and witches, and alike at Halloween time. I don't think people are going to be doing it anymore, and I'll tell you why. First of all, because God says in His Word, learn not the way of the heathen. And secondly, because all the accoutrements and paraphernalia that are associated with Halloween are satanic and demonic. Do you ever ponder that? Why is it that on a day which allegedly is the day, the evening of All Hallows, that's where it comes from, you know, it really has an apostrophe, H-A-L-L-O-W-E apostrophe E-N, which is the way we spell it in a brochure that I have for you, because it means hallowed evening. And it comes on the 31st of October because it is after sunset on actually the day that is beginning November the 1st. You see, anciently the days began, as they do in the Bible, in biblical chronology, with sunset, the preceding sunset. The day ends at sunset, and a new day begins with the dark part of the day, not in the middle of a dead midnight, as we do by an artificial clock, but at sunset, at the going away or the going down of the sun. Now, when the Roman Catholic Church many, many years ago ran out of days on the calendar to which they would like to assign someone who was supposed to be a saint, they decided to lump them all together and to have All Saints Day, and for some reason November 1st was the day that was chosen. So November the 1st became known as the Day of All Saints, or All Saints Day, or the Day of All Hallowed Ones, or All Hallows. And therefore, when the sun went down on the 31st of October, it was the evening before the Day of All Hallows, or it was Hallowed Evening, shortened to Halloween. Now, because the ancient pagan druids of Ireland and Scotland and England and Wales began to cavort around at that night in their celebrations dedicated toward Samhain, or Samhain, or Shaman. You find that term even among the Indians. Isn't it interesting how that name has survived through the tongues of the world? Many of them pronounce the word for a witch doctor or a fake medicine man or some guy that was supposed to be the medicine man of the tribe as the shaman. Well, anciently in the Druidic culture, that was Samhain, who was the Lord of the Dead, or Satan the Devil. Now, because of their belief in the immortality of the soul, they believed that their beloved loved ones who had died in preceding years were still alive. And they believed that Satan the Devil would assign them different bodies and that they could live inside of a black cat or maybe a mosquito or a dog or a porcupine or whatever. And they would actually appeal to Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, which is Satan the Devil, to hand out a lighter sentence for their bereaved, for their lost loved ones in the upcoming year. And of course, there was a very excitable belief in ghouls and poltergeists and hobgoblins and in witches and demons and all that. So in order to scare them away, as if you could do that by a leering face even more hideous than their own, these people believed that they would carve out some kind of a vessel. Usually it was made out of some kind of a thing they could put together. But eventually somebody hit upon carving a pumpkin and putting a lantern or a candle inside of it and making a hideous leering face, and they would claim that there was a Jick, Joker, or Jack. And if you look up the word Jack, as in jackdaw, jackfish, jackknife, you will find that its origin has to do with something that is capricious, something cavorting around, something mysterious, something like Satan the Devil. Rapaciousness, impishness, was always connected with the word Jack or Jick or Joker. The Joker was an idiot. He ran around with his weird-looking costume trying to make the king laugh. He is the Joker in the deck of the playing cards that are revolving around the idea of kings and queens and jacks or jokers. And the jick, the demon, or the jack in the lantern is supposed to be something that inhabits or possesses the lantern, which is supposed to scare the bejabbers out of an approaching demon who is going to mess around with your family. And so the idea was, well, we'll have one that looks real hideous and it'll frighten away all of these demons. It makes you wonder, you know, do you think God is up in his heavenly armchair saying, boy, I sure hope all of my wonderful Christian people down there have a wonderful Halloween this year? Because a lot of the Halloween parties are going to take place in church family life centers, in church auditoriums, in church basements. I remember when I was a child, my parents didn't believe in it and told me it was pagan, but I went down to a local Eugene, Oregon church, and in the basement of the church, they were having an apple ducking contest. I remember cutting my lip. Seemed to me like they pinned an apple to the ceiling and suspended it on a cord, and then they had the boys and girls around in a circle trying to take a bite out of it as it was swinging and wildly gyrating around between us, which must have been a very unsanitary process. And it was also a process of trying to duck for an apple, which was simply bobbing on the water of a huge big wash tub full of water. I remember that one too. But where did we get it? I mean, where does it come from, and why should a Christian, Christ-professing, God-fearing, Bible-possessing, Bible-believing people go absolutely insane on the most important day of the year to Satanists? And why is it, too, that while it is supposed to be called the Day of All Hallows, or the Evening of All Saints Day, Hallowed Evening, there is nothing accompanying the celebration of Halloween that has to do with saints? Instead, it has to do with the opposite. The devil, demons, gargoyles, witches. Oh, by the way, I was just told that one of the most sensational and rapidly selling costumes for today is a rubber or some kind of a paper mache, some kind of a substance, whatever, some kind of an artificial substance made into a mask, looking like O.J. Simpson with blood splattered all over it. Isn't that wonderful? The kiddies can really enjoy that one. I can't wait for the Black Caucus and some of the black people to react against that one, because there is already a great deal of the racial overtones beginning to enter into the carnival that has become the O.J. Simpson trial. So we'll just have to stand by and see what they do with that one. Some time ago, I wrote an article on America's crazed bloodlust, and I opined as how millions of Americans are like squealing Yorkshire hogs, shouldering each other out of the way in their avaricious delight to get to the slop trough of grisly murders, of splatter movies, of stabbings, of garrottings, hangings, burnings, blastings, of dismemberments, of vivisections, of sorting through the viscera of everything from black cats to little babies as they watch in ghoulish pleasure. And I see on the TV guide, on the cover of the current number, coming along the very week that Halloween was to be celebrated, that there were certain suggested programs you might want to watch which would scare the everlasting bejabbers out of you, as there were demons cavorting around in all kinds of ghoulish haunted houses and so on. And oh, isn't it fun? Oh, isn't it wonderful? People love it. They go to a horror movie to be horrified, to be absolutely scared out of their wits. And they think that it doesn't bother them. You know, anybody, in my opinion, who thinks that there is no remote association between what people feed upon mentally and what they do as a result has got to be a cone-headed idiot, got to be a complete fool. There is just way too much evidence. You see the youngsters who went out after they saw the sensational movie of the guy that dared some trucks or buses to run over him and lay down in the center line, and some of them did it and got run over. As a matter of fact, there are all kinds of accounts on police records of how youngsters did to their own parents what they saw in a movie. "We saw How to Kill My Parents in a movie," they would say. Or, "We saw how to commit this robbery," or, "We saw how they did that." And so they go out and they mimic it. Well, here we are, people with both hands gleefully entering into an absolute orgy called Halloween, which has as its basic elements the utter pagan witchcraft and superstition of the pagan Druids that eventually, as the Roman Catholic Church expanded ever westward, were gathered into the Roman Catholic Church. and some of the accoutrements and paraphernalia of some of the most important holidays of the so-called Christian professing religion are pagan to the rotten core. Like Easter, Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Astarte, pronounced Easter. And what are the symbols accompanying Easter? They are the symbols of sex and fertility, the symbols of ovaries and testicles. They are the symbols of rapid procreativity. They are the symbols like eggs and bunny rabbits and the Easter lily, which pagans thought looked like fornication in process. Now, if you look at Christmas, then you have the little tree that allegedly was Nimrod springing out of the old dead log overnight, the alleged resurrection of Nimrod. There's also another fable that makes you really wonder about some of these people in ancient Germany, not the least of which was Saint Boniface. It means pretty puss. Old Saint Pretty Puss, Saint Boniface. And Saint Bonface, Saint Boniface, came upon allegedly a lot of pagan Germanic Teuton worshippers who were cavorting around a sacred oak of Jupiter. And that meant something else that I could go into, like if you look into Pathor or Peter and why it is that some people refer to a male member not as a Bartholomew or a Thaddeus, but as something else. You might even find that there were certain phallic symbols that were worshipped and set up as obelisks, and some of them impudently are pointing toward the sky atop a building called a church today. And there is a reason why males down through the centuries have called themselves not Pathor or Pethor, as they did way back then, which is even mentioned in the Old Testament as a phallic symbol and by name, and the upright obelisks among which they cavorted. But that actually these accoutrements are found in some pagan ceremonies that are actually adapted into the Christian religion today. And even sit there impudently atop many a building that is called a church, poking toward the sky. Of course, it's really realistic in Austria and in the Ukraine and over in Poland when you go to Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania. There, they knew how to make those things. They knew how to shape them to be what they're really supposed to be. Over here, they just got an upright thing like Cleopatra's needle. And is it any accident that the symbol of the father of the country, the United States, is what it is at the end of the mall? There it is, protruding impudently up into the sky. Anyway, the pagans really loved to worship reproduction and sex. It was something that was fascinating to them. If you've ever been to the ruins of Pompeii, where a whole city ceased to exist somewhere about the 200s A.D., you look at the bedroom decorations. They'd gone a few steps even beyond American pornography. Of course, they didn't have it in living color on their VCRs, but they did paint pictures of people engaged in various acts right on the walls of their bedrooms, and I'm talking about the finest homes over there. See, pagans knew where babies came from. An inner demented darkness in their superstitious witchery, they decided every now and then to give this god one of them back. I mean, he gives us all these kids, let's give him one. And they went into human sacrifice. Now, a point in passing, you know, when we talk about where we got Halloween and why do we do it, and all of the accompanying idiocy that is associated with it, such as a gang of demons knocking on your door and saying, give us something to pacify us or we wreck the joint. Translated, trick or treat. Anyway, as we look at whether we ought to do it, maybe you ought to find out about its origins. Where did some of these superstitions come from? And is it something God wants for us? You ever hear about a bonfire? Why is it a bonfire? Do you have any idea? You know, the ancient old Teutonic word and then the Anglo-Saxon word, which comes from the High German, they're already of a common origin. The languages of Scandinavia, Germany, England, Scotland, Irish, and Wales. Well, the Welsh language and the old Irish Gaelic were somewhat different, but certainly the origins of the English language are found in a common tongue, among them the old Teutonic tongue and the Anglo-Saxon tongue. And anciently, they worshipped Taurus the bull, which was really a symbol of Nimrod, and really a symbol of part of the host of heaven. And it was spelled B-O-U-S, Boos. But apparently there was a way of pronouncing it like Boon, B-O-U-N, and we find it in a hot cross bun, which is for Ishtar time or Easter time, hot cross buns. These were buns with the symbol of the solar wheel of Constantine, which was a symbol of the sun, the Solus Invictus. And as long as they could have that X or that cross on the bus or the bun, it was a cake baked to the queen and the king of heaven, which was Isis and Osiris, or Semiramis and Nimrod. And it's perpetuated down today into hot cross buns. And the only time during the year when bakers decide to take a little bit of icing and take their little squeeze tube and to make a nice little cross on a hot bun and sell it to people who voraciously eat it, which used to be a pagan ceremony of eating it, but now it's just something to please the palate, eat a lot of sugar and fat and starch. And so they eat a white, you know, a kind of a funny-looking hot cross bun. Well, they go out and light a fire. And it's not just a fire, it's a bonfire. And that is, of course, at the time of Halloween. They used to light fires in the streets, and probably they will do it again, whichever city wins the Super Bowl, they'll burn down the city. I'm so glad that the losers don't do that. It seems like only the winners. You know, you want to move away the minute some city representing the Super Bowl wins, because they are going to burn the city down if they can. They're going to break windows, kill one another, overturn police cars, loot, pillage, ravage, burn. And that's a celebration. We won! We're number one. Let's burn somebody. Anyway, where did we get Halloween? It comes from the ancient pagan Druids. And it comes from a satanic source which has nothing remotely to do with Christianity. Now, I've got two things I want to tell you about. One is a booklet entitled The Shocking Truth About Satanism. I've been told recently that the period of time just before, leading up to, and including November 1st, which is the most important day on the Satanists' calendars, is the worst time in the year for kidnapping of little children and other kinds of kidnappings. Did you know that? Now that's rather sickening. Do you know that in the United States there are hundreds of thousands of children that are reported missing every single year? Do you know that in the United States there are at least 5,000 unidentifiable bodies of little children that are found every year in our country? In the course of 1 year, 5,000 bodies of little children. Up to 55,000 Americans maimed, injured, and killed. The injuries are far more than the death toll on our highways. But you know, when you look at people finding cattle, cats or dogs, eviscerated, various vital parts and organs of their bodies missing, and sometimes without a drop of blood left in their bodies, yet they are lying there with no visible evidence of any blood anywhere, but just surgically precise cuts made in their bodies. And the things like this have been reported from some of the Midwestern states to the Southeast, to the Southwest, to New England, to Washington State. In states all over the United States, and the contiguous 48 for certain, there have been examples of demonism and witchcraft and of the occult practices of Satanists who like to dissect bodies in their ritualistic killings because they think Satan the devil demands it. Now, it's something you ought to know about. It's something you ought to be aware of, because many of you drive, let's say, along the freeway beneath highway overpasses, and there in plain view are the scribbles in a spray can graffiti of Satanists. There are certain signs that they like to use that have symbolism and significance to them. There are many people who follow the doctrines of demons today. There was a murder I heard about less than 2 weeks ago where somebody killed somebody in a particularly vicious, bloodthirsty manner and said that I did it because I thought it would please Satan the devil. It is extant and it is growing, and some of the horrifying facts you ought to know about for the sake of your children and grandchildren and your family and your loved ones. So I have a free booklet I'd like to send you entitled The Shocking Truth About Satanism, and along with it a brochure about Halloween. It explains where we got it, gives you all the history about it, goes through the doctrine of the immortality of the soul, Satan, who was the Lord of the dead, and then, of course, the admissions of where we got it, even from the Catholic Encyclopedia. The Catholics claim that November 1st was set aside, and I'm quoting now, to honor all the saints, known and unknown, and according to Urban IV, to supply any deficiencies in the faithful celebration of Saints' Feast during the year. And you know, all the way down through the centuries, the Roman Catholic Church, especially in the first few centuries of its development, would adapt various pagan holidays and practices of the pagans to accommodate the feelings of a lot of these lustful, excitable heathen who were coming into the ranks of the Roman Catholic Church. They did so in the case of the ancient Saturnalia, the Romans and Greeks, and eventually that festival, which was dedicated to the sun god, held in the middle of a dead winter, prevailing upon the sun as if they and their prayers had anything to do with it, at its lowest ebb of the dead winter, would beg the sun, "Oh, please begin your journey once more across the northern sky, bringing spring and summer." Well, eventually, because the Saturnalia was observed by the pagans, the Roman Catholic Church began to adopt and to adapt to that pagan celebration what originally had been a time, probably, at about the annunciation of the angelic host to angels to Mary, that she was going to give birth to the Christ child. Because, believe it or not, Jesus Christ was born in the autumn, probably on or near somewhere the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, if the truth be told. And if you simply count backwards, it means that Jesus Christ's conception was somewhere in the latter part of December. Now, because the devil is a great counterfeiter, and because the devil likes to put things that are completely pagan in place of God's annual holy days to conceal God's plan and to keep human beings completely ignorant of it, it may well be that December 25th was the day of conception. There's nothing inherently evil or pagan about December 25th or any other day in the calendar. Of course, December is not December, is it? Because December means the 10th month. So, and November means the 9th month, and October means the 8th month, and September means the 7th month, which they are not. They are not because of Julius and Augustus, those vain, pompous jackasses who used to be Roman emperors, who, thinking they were divine in their all-unholy, stinking flatulence, decided they would name months after themselves, and one of them, not to be outdone, decided he had to have an equal number of days, which threw the entire calendar into complete chaos, thus making August Augustus, which he probably was not, probably smelled like something underneath a garbage can most of his life. But anyway, this complete jackass of El Pomposo decided he had to have a 31-day month, just like Julius did. And so we got July with 31 days and August with 31 days, and we don't rebel against that. We just go along with it. What month is this? July. What month is this? September. No, it's not. It's not the 7th. It's the 9th. So they're all out of whack. But anyway, there is nothing completely sacred or pagan either about a date on the calendar, neither here nor there. Almighty God has set down his annual holy days, which reveal seasonally, as the seasons progress, God's plan. And Satan the devil is completely paganized and counterfeited all of these days to bring them in as if to obscure God's annual holy days, thus keeping millions of people completely ignorant about God's plan. The Catholic Encyclopedia says that it wasn't until the 4th century that neighboring dioceses began to interchange feasts and to transfer relics and divide them and to join in a common festival shown by the invitation of St. Basil of Caesarea in about 397, to the bishops of the province of Pontus, and the church, feeling that every martyr should be venerated, appointed a common day for all. So All Saints' Day found its way into the church calendar because the year was simply not long enough to make it possible to dedicate a special day for each saint of the Catholic Church. You know, a lot of Catholics, I don't know that all of them do, but many Catholics don't celebrate their own birthday. They celebrate the day of their saint, after which maybe they have been named. Maybe not in this country so much as in Latin American countries and Spain and Portugal and elsewhere. But you see, the word Halloween did not come from the Word of God. The patriarchs never heard of it. Jesus Christ and the disciples never heard of it. It's not mentioned anywhere. It came from the superstitions of ancient Egyptians, Babylonians, Zidonians, Akkadians, Philistines, Greeks, Romans, Teutons. None of the apostles ever heard of the day. And of course, any real Christian who were to come back from the first century and look at people dressing up like a mummy, a ghoul, a ghost, a goblin, Satan himself, a witch, a disembodied, dismembered something or other, or, as I said, O.J. with splatters of blood on his face, would be absolutely horrified to see what is going on. So here we are. I saw on Good Morning America just this morning, and they're happy, 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 and they're explaining about, oh, and we're going to come back and tell you how to really throw a nice monster party. Well, you know, people think it is a light thing. They think that it's something that is harmless, and it's something just to have fun, and increasingly it's become an excuse to get roaringly drunk. And people are going to die, and people are going to kill little kids in cars on Halloween. Vicious Satanists are going to kidnap children, and in vicious satanic cultural cult rituals are going to torture them and kill them. And yet all of society gleefully does backstrokes through all of this absolute filth and garbage. And here's what the Bible says about it, and I quote, "Hear you the word which the Eternal speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Eternal, learn not the way of the heathen." Jeremiah 10:2. Learn not the way of the heathen. Halloween is as pagan, as darkened, as stupid, as demented, as demonic, as absolutely satanic as anything comes. Now, does it make any difference? Well, you can take your chances if you say, well, I don't think there is a God and I don't think he cares. Have at it. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ and on his authority, that Halloween is a filthy, rotten, pagan ceremony that is pagan to the core. It gets kids killed oftentimes, kidnapped or sick, and they shouldn't be out there learning that by threatening someone to soap their screens and windows, or worse, maybe set fire to their house, that they get a bag full of candy, and kids shouldn't be eating all that junk anyway. Well, get this and at least find out. If you want to do nothing but maybe put it in the cracks in your house to keep the wind out, or use it to start fires, it's still yours free of charge if you get the booklet on the shocking truth about Satanism and the brochure about Halloween. They are free of charge, absolutely no price, if you call 903-825-2525. The telephone number is 903-825-2525. Or you can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Box 2525 in Tyler, Texas, 75710. That's Garner Ted Armstrong, Box 2525 in Tyler, Texas, 75710. The brochure on Halloween and the book on Satanism, both will come to your address absolutely free of charge, no bill to follow, no price now, and not ever. The telephone number once again is 903-825-2525, or you can write to me, Box 2525 in Tyler, Texas, 75710. See you here in 1 week.
All literature and tapes offered are available free of charge. Tune in next time for Garner Ted Armstrong.